streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Floyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show worldwide with Rob and Lucinda. Today we got a great, great show. We got Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick, former mayor of Detroit, on the show today. And before he come in, we're going to dedicate this song to him that I wrote this year, Call I'm On Now. And if you done got it in tune with the creator, you can really tell the world you really own now. So we're going to go ahead and spin this before he come on. I'm on now.
I'm on now. God, I ain't scared to tell nobody how much I love you. I'm on now. A lot is called, but only a few is chosen. I'm glad you chose me to be one of your greatest soldiers. I'm on now. You brought me out of the darkness into the morning light. I'm on now. I remember when I fell on my knees. I surrender all. God, use me the way you see fit. I'm on now. Everything I do is to glorify your name. I'm on now. I honor you, I give you all the glory.
Glory.
I thank you for having mercy and grace on my life. I surrender all. I'm on now. Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace, I'm on now. God, thank you for all you ever did for me. I'm on now. Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace, I'm on now. I give you honor and praise.
Praise.
I give you honor and praise.
Honor.
I ain't scared to tell nobody how much I love you.
Nobody.
You ain't never denied me at all, Father. I will never deny you. I will never deny you. I love you.
Love you.
Shout your name all the way from the rooftop. I will never deny you. I'm on now.
Hey, this is Daniel from the Philippines, rocking with Rob and Lucinda at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show.
The Streets Don't Love You Back organization started in 2009 by Rob and Lucinda. The goal was to educate the youth and adults against gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse, and making better choices in life. The intervention program is a program that's taught around the country in the prison system, the county jail system, the school system, the court system, and the juvenile system as well. If you would like to make a donation or get involved, please go to the website at www.thestreetsdontloveyoubat.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyoubat.com. Thanks in advance.
Hey, this is Daniel from the Philippines, rocking with Rob and Lucinda at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show.
The Streets Don't Love You Back organization started in 2009 by Rob and Lucinda. The goal was to educate the youth and adults against gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse, and making better choices in life. The intervention program is a program that's taught around the country in the prison system, the county jail system, the school system, the court system, and the juvenile system as well. If you would like to make a donation or get involved, please go to the website at www.thestreetsdontloveyoubat.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyoubat.com. Thanks in advance.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we just wanted to go ahead and make that strong introduction. And waiting on Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick to come on, and we're going to have a great interview with him. He's going to let the world know what his ministry is doing now, and him working on this prison reform and getting other people not only out of prison, but getting their mindset right as well to be out here and be a productive member of society. So we just want to thank him, and it's an honor to have him on the show. And we'll just wait till we get in, and we're going to spin a song right quick while we're waiting on Mr. Kilpatrick to come in. And this is by a young lady, Danielle, from overseas in the Philippines.
September, just to see.
The Streets Don't Love You Back radio show started in 2009 by Rob and Lucinda, and it is still currently going on really strong. If you would like to be a guest on the show, advertise any brand or product that you have, or get your music played, you can contact us at our website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. And thanks again for your continued support. We do appreciate it.
Hey, this is Daniel from the Philippines, rocking with Rob and Lucinda at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show.
The Streets Don't Love You Back organization started in 2009 by Rob and Lucinda. The goal was to educate the youth and adults against gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse, and making better choices in life. The intervention program is a program that's taught around the country in the prison system, county jail system, the school system, the court system, and the juvenile system as well. If you would like to make a donation or get involved, please go to the website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. Thanks in advance. Community, family, and protecting dreams. These are the things that the Chris K. Hart Agency of American Family Insurance believes in. We all have dreams, and the Chris K. Hart Agency can partner with you and the people most important to help make those dreams become reality. Whether it's buying a home, starting a business, or protecting the ones you love most with life insurance. Let's dream fearlessly and reach for the stars. Now, if you're in the Maricopa County, Phoenix metro area, you can call 602-235-0071. If you're in the Pinal County area, you can call 520-350-2500. And if you're trying to reach the American Family Insurance Agency online, go to www.chriskharagency.com. Or you can go to CCAHALL@AMFAM.com. We keep it fam around here. Dream fearlessly.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the hottest radio show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back. We got another track from me called Back by Papa Demand. Let's get it.
Back by Papa Demand. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Detroit. Back by popular demand. Cincinnati. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Arizona. Back by popular demand. Get your ballroom on. Get your ballroom on. Get your ballroom on. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Detroit, get your ballroom on. Cincinnati, get your ballroom on. Arizona, get your ballroom on. California, get your ballroom on. Back by popular demand. 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 Get your ballroom on. Get your ballroom on. Everybody around the world. Get your ballroom on. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Your man Rob Boy, baby, I'm back. Back by popular demand. Yeah. Get your ballroom on. Get your ballroom on. Get your ballroom on. Here we come. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand. Back by popular demand.
my boy Mac, baby, we back. Yeah.
Back by Papa Demand. Back by Papa Demand. Back by Papa Demand.
Get your ballroom on, Detroit. Get your ballroom on, Cincinnati. Get your ballroom on, Arizona. Get your ballroom on, California.
Back by Papa Demand. Back by Papa Demand. Back by Papa Demand. Back by Papa Demand.
Yeah. Get your ballroom on. Get your ballroom on. Get that dance flow. That's that Detroit thing, baby. Get your ball. Hey.
Back by Papa Demand.
We got the next track coming at you, Back to the Money Bag. I wrote that song in 2019, and that goes out to my homeboy, White Boy Rick, you feel me? Because we definitely back to the money bag all the way. Here we go.
First of all, I want to give a big shout out to my homeboy, White Boy Rick, and his queen, Michelle. Welcome home, homeboy. Back to the money bag, just like you never left.
Back to the money bag. Back to the money bag, yeah, yeah. Me and my homeboy, White Boy Rick, back to the money bag, yeah. Just like you never left. We back to the money bag. People slept on the team, but we back to the money bag, yeah. The world will see. We at the round table. Now we back to the money bag. Back to the money bag. Back to the money bag, yeah, yeah. Me and my team, we back to the money bag. Legitimate now. Back to the money bag. We sitting at the round table. Back to the money bag. The billions at the table. Back to the money bag. Love to my boy, White Boy Rick. We back to the money bag. Yeah, yeah.
Gotta get to the money bag. Now things change, go hand in hand. It's been 30 years, you don't think it was a plan. Sitting in the cell trying to plan to advance, yeah. So we took that chance. Gary Young kid trying to get to advance. Living in the jungle in the motor city. East side boys when the streets get gritty. Yeah, the streets was crazy. And they showed no pity. Drugs moved through and they killed the whole hood and it didn't look pretty. It was millionaires, 418 didn't have a skin. Lil Rob Boy, White Boy, bring it 430 crew in the Cliff Jones clip.
I remember when you first went away. People left you for dead. Now God has blessed us to do our thing. Back to the money bag. Welcome home. Back to the money bag. Free at last. Free at last. Thank you God for blessing my homeboy, White Boy Rick. Free at last. Back to the money, 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 money bag. Back to the money bag. Back to the money, 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 money bag. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Back to the money bag. Back to the money bag. Back to the money bag. Back to the money bag.
this is Daniel from the Philippines, rocking with Rob and Lucinda at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Hey, this is Daniel from the Philippines, rocking with Rob and Lucinda at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show.
Hey, this your man RB. I'm sending this track out to all the ghettos around the world. I'm trapped in the hood. You don't know my struggle. I'm trapped in the hood. You don't know my struggle. If you never lived in the jungle, you don't know how I feel. I'm trapped in the hood, trying to find my way out. I'm trapped in the jungle. Never lived in the jungle, you don't know how I feel. I'm trapped in the hood, trying to find my way out. I'm trapped in the hood, you don't know my struggle. I wanna thank God for blessing my life. I got out the hood, I did the right thing now. Everybody's still in the hood, praying for you to find a way out the hood now. I'm trapped in the hood, don't know my struggle. If you never lived in the hood, you don't know the hood struggle. Yeah, I'm trapped in the hood now. Everywhere I go across America, I give the shout out to everybody in the hood across America that's still in the struggle. I'm trapped in the hood, trying to find my way out. I'm trapped in the hood.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring the main man in himself, Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick. hey, what's up, my man?
How you doing, brother? You all right?
Oh, brother, we just honored and blessed to have you on the show, man. And before we get going, I just want to say my homeboy, White Boy Rick, told me to tell you hello and he'll listen to the segment after it's over with. Right. He at the NASCAR race right now, you know?
Well, you know, he got friends all over, man. That's, you know, White Boy Rick is doing some good things since he's been out. And he's actually going right to the heart of a matter in terms of huge civil lawsuit up here. But real quick story.
Yeah.
When I was put in the state prison, you know, I was in state prison first. I did 18 months in the state prison. They put me straight in a maximum security prison, and they took me straight to solitary. I went straight to the hole. And the person who was working as the orderly in the hole was White Boy Rick. And nobody would talk to me. Nobody would give me a pencil, a piece of paper, nothing. The guards had told people to treat me horribly, but he wasn't on.
Whoa.
He actually came and he did a great service with me in that prison, and you know, helped me get a phone call, helped me get some paper and pen, and helped me get a legal pad as well. So I started writing my book right there in that spot, and so I always, you know, thank him for, you know, sharing that service with me. He had been in when I saw him more than 20 years then. And so, you know, he was a vet.
Yes, indeed. It was an honor, man, because I remember when me and him had talked, you know, and he had told me, he said, Rob, he said, send your intervention program to Kwame, man. I said, oh, yeah. I said, mm-hmm. You think he'll shoot back? He said he will, man. He said just shoot the intervention program to him. Because me and Rick go all the way back when Rick was 13. Rick was hanging with us when he was young, you know. So we all grew up together,
right.
You know.
Right.
And it was just amazing because I wrote you when you first went in. But I knew so much was going on, I never heard back.
Man.
But when I sent you the intervention program, you shot that letter back.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think I received it. They was at El Reno FCI when I first got to prison in that first few years. There's so much mail that I didn't get. You know, it was holding my mail. It was all kind of stuff with me, man. You know, that was
my
a,
man. So, Dave, we're going to get straight to it.
Go
ahead. We're going to get straight to it. I want you to formally introduce yourself to the audience right now, and we're going to get it cracking.
Okay. I'm Kwame Kilpatrick, born and raised in the city of Detroit, married, father of three, was a politician in the city, was the leader of the state house. I was the first African-American and the youngest person ever to have that position in the Michigan's history. Then I was elected mayor of Detroit, where I was elected two terms to that position. End up getting caught up in my own mess in terms of lying about an affair under oath, prosecuted criminally from the matters out of a civil trial. I now know that the feds and the state were working together to get me in prison so they could build a case on the federal side. And so the feds prosecuted me as well, indicted me and prosecuted me for public corruption. I was sentenced to 28 years in prison. I did 18 months in the state and just 39 days short of eight in the federal system. And I was given an executive commutation by Donald Trump, who him and his administration saw the reckless and selective and malicious prosecution that took place against me. And, you know, I just thank God for him being in that position at that time and God turning his heart towards me to get me out of there. And so, you know, that's me in a nutshell. Oh, right now I'm
my man.
Minister. I'm preaching the word of God. Excuse me. I've been ordained as a minister. I start seminary on Monday here in Atlanta. And I'm preaching the word of God around the country because I just don't believe that there's any issue, including criminal justice, that we cannot focus on the authentic manhood of Jesus to follow out, to find our answers to some of the problems that we're dealing with. And so that's what I'm doing now. That's what I did for 6.5 or 8 years. I was in federal prison and moving this mission forward to set the captives free and proclaim liberty to the captives. We have a mess of a situation in America, the worst system on planet Earth, the most egregious, horrible, tenaciously and profoundly wicked system on earth, and something has to change. We need a revolution, and I raise my hand. Here I am. Send me.
My man, I appreciate that, brother. And I want to get right to this question to you, Mr. Kilpatrick. How was it when the judge said 28 calendars, man? How did that bottle in your mind when he shot that to you?
Dang. I forgot her name. Now, wow, that's crazy, and I'm not tripping right now. I really have. Because I'm thinking of a woman who I served with whose husband just died. Her name is Nancy Quarles. She's been on my mind, and I forget the judge's name. But anyway, when she said 28 years, the prosecution stood up and asked, you know, said a whole lot of stuff and then asked for 28 years. My lawyer stood up for a couple of minutes, and she said, okay, that's enough. 28 years sounds right to me. That's how she – 28 years sounds about right to me. That's her exact words. She pulled out a prepared speech and read that speech for 5 or 6 minutes and then sends me to 28 years. When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. I thought that – but, you know, honestly, I was expecting it. I was expecting Rob, the show to continue. I really was. I thought that it was going to be something. I actually turned around to my family and said, she's going to sentence me to close to 30 years. The night before, the talking
wow.
heads on the television were prognosticating about what I would receive in terms of a sentence. You know, most of them said 10 years, 8 years, 7 years. Nobody said over 10 years. The prosecutors came on that night late and said, we're going to ask for 28 years. I told everybody in the unit at Milan, Michigan at that time, that's what I'm going to get. They're going to sentence me to 28 years.
Wow.
Nobody believes, no, man, no, big homie, they ain't going to do that to you. No, that's what I'm getting right there. And,
yeah,
and
that's
exactly what happened in the courtroom. That's coming. You know, I knew that the prosecutors and the judges were on the judge were on the same side the entire process. I had to see this for myself. I'm a lawyer. I passed the bar, the Michigan bar, the first time that I took the test. And I, you know, my whole life has been in an evidentiary state of mind. You know, state court systems, law and order, OJ trial. But when you get into the federal system, there's nothing, it has nothing to do with an evidentiary court. Circumstantial evidence and direct evidence is weighed the same. You know, as long as somebody get on that stand and say you did it, you might as well have blood splatter, a fingerprint, hair follicles, because it's the same weight in the federal court. And it blew my mind. The whole process, Rob, blew my mind.
Wow, man. So your mama and dad, they hear this, your kids, they hear this 28-year sentence, man. How did that just destroy mom and dad and your kids' mentality at that time? Speak on that, brother.
Well, they gave me an opportunity to go in a room in their office before they sent me straight to prison. I didn't get to get my affairs in order. And they gave me a room, and my sons and my then wife, they were in Texas. And so I called them. You know, I called them. And I haven't, you know, Rob, you get an exclusive. I've never even discussed this. And so I called them. And they were all crying because the news had already broke of what I received. And, you know, I talked to my sons, you know, and they're here now. You know, they're hanging out. They're in the backyard right now working out. And
my
you know, looking at them now, they're 25 twins and 19. They're all, you know, my two oldest are college graduates. My youngest, 19, we're about to drive him to college tomorrow. You know, he's
congrats.
A sophomore. And so, you know, I want people to know that God is able, and he protected my sons. But this moment you're talking about was so crushing. And they went through a horrible time. You know, they did. They had to be men really quick. My two oldest sons really had to figure out how to take care of themselves. They went through changes and leaving home, getting their apartment. They came back, had to take care of their little brother. But they grew up with a little chip on their shoulders to be successful and to be victorious. And now I'm really working to get that chip off. You know, you can calm
my
down.
Man.
There's nothing left to kill. You know, Damon Wayans.
Right. We done did,
you know,
that.
Yeah, we did that. There's nothing left to kill. So let's figure out now what we do from here. But it was crushing. It was crushing to my mother, man. My mother, I don't believe that she ever got over it. I believe that it the weight of what happened to her baby boy. And, you know, me and my mother, we tight. And so the weight of those years and what happened to her, that's the tremendous guilt that I still wrestle with of how the city did my mom after I left, the city of Detroit, and then also what I did. And so the burden that was on her to get me out of prison. Because in my present, you know, I ain't from the streets. I'm from the neighborhood. But I'm not from the streets.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I was
you educated,
grew up on Linwood. And, yeah, when you grew up on Linwood and the Boulevard, I went to all Detroit public schools, grew up in the neighborhood. But you know who you are. You know thugs. Like, these guys that want to be, you know, we come from a time where you're either a thug or you ain't. Stop trying to be. The guys
bottom
that
line.
Was getting killed was guys who was trying to be something they wasn't. So I learned very early. I saw a couple of people shot, you know, up at the park and all. I'm not about to be playing. I'm going to school. So
yeah,
I'm going to
get my education
never,
up in there, bro.
Man,
I don't want to be here.
Education. No, man, I don't want to play tough guy. That ain't what I do. No, y'all go ahead. Now, I've hooped with them. We played football. I had a bunch of fist fights in there, but I was not a part of that culture. So my mother, you know, was the parent that came to parent-teacher conference every time they had it. She was a parent that whooped you right in elementary. I got whooped several times right up at Fairbanks Elementary School, Detroit Public School. She didn't play, and everybody in the neighborhood knew she didn't play, but she also loved us in an incredible way. And so for that, it broke her in a way that I'd never seen her broke. She's a strong woman who raised her kids right in the middle of the neighborhood. And so you know how strong she had to be. But to see her in that state, it was crushing for me. And she was never the same. She's still not right now. She's never been the same since that day. And then my father, of course, they indicted him, just so your audience knows and you know, they indicted my father with the same crimes that they indicted me, We had a nearly six-month trial. They talked about him 2 days. He never came up. The papers was writing articles about why is Bernard Kilpatrick in the courtroom. He got found not guilty of all the stuff related to me, and he got found guilty of one charge, which was filing a false tax return because he took money out of his 401k and didn't pay the taxes back.
Oh, my goodness.
It's something, a $9,000 thing. The judge said in the sentence, he got his guidelines like 0 to 15 months. She gave him 15 months in prison and said, because he's, you're his dad. It's the worst indictment I've ever seen of the kind of bias and race issues and personal issues that we see in the federal court. And they know he was not involved in anything, but it was more of, The prosecutors in the beginning of my case said, if you take 25 years, we'll let your dad out of here.
Wow.
So it was.
They come with all of that. You know, they come with the flip-flop either way, huh?
He told me, if you take 25 years, I'll kill you myself. So
Dad said, look, man, I'm going to go sit down for a few minutes. I need the rest. And you go ahead and finish fighting that case, son. Don't let them bamboozle you over in this area.
Absolutely. You know, the day that it happened, I seen my father cry twice in life. I saw him cry when his grandmother, who raised him, died, Michael. And I saw him cry the second time that day. I had to put my arms around my father. There was an article written about it. I had to hug him in the courtroom. And you know, tell him to calm down, man. We're going to be all right. So it was the first, it was the second time I ever saw him cry, but it was the first time, because I was 11 years old when, you know, my great-grandmother died. But I was standing there with my father at 70-something years old, headed to prison for what people thought was 28 years. And so it was a crushing day for my son, for my ex-wife, for my mother, for my father, for my entire family. We have a very tight family, and I could tell you, we're still picking up the pieces, emotional
from
pieces,
back then,
soulful pieces, spiritual pieces from what happened in 2013 in March.
Wow. So let's get to this point right here, Mr. Kilpatrick. When Donald Trump hit the hammer and said, we're going to give you a second chance, good brother, tell the audience, man, how did that make you feel, good brother?
Man, it was an amazing and special moment for me. I was sitting in a solitary confinement cell. I was in isolation, and you know, we don't need the story on that. But I was sitting in isolation, and it was the night of January 19th. I had heard about the disturbance and whatever, the insurrection, whatever, the rebellion that happened at the Capitol, but I didn't see the pictures until I got out of prison. So people were telling me what was going on. They were giving me rumors that the president was going to resign, that the government was stopped. I didn't know what was going on. The night of January 19th, one of my guys who was the orderly in there, he told me that CNN had announced that there are going to be more commutations tonight. And I just received in my belly that I'm getting one of them. I told him I'm getting one of them.
My man.
You know,
I'm claiming that, bro.
I'm claiming that. I'm getting out of here. We know that my sister, Ayana, had done an amazing job getting the message out, talking to everybody that she could talk to, sending information, answering questions. She kind of spearheaded a effort to free me from prison, and I couldn't help her. You know, by the grace of God, I was in an isolated position, so I couldn't write letters. You know, we spent so much time over the 7.5 years I was writing letters. Them last 7-8 months there, I couldn't do anything, and so
they cut
she
you
was
off.
Doing a whole lot. Yeah, they cut me off. I couldn't do anything. We were in the midst of COVID, and people were in isolation, and things were happening, and they wouldn't let people out of isolation and go back to the units. It got real administratively messed up. So a lot of us just had to stay where we were.
But I'll tell you, it was the it was the most personal experience that I've ever had with the Spirit of God. And you know, he raised me up to a new level in there. For 6.5 years, I gave my life to him and told everybody I'm following him and was teaching Bible studies and learning the word and preaching the word. But that last 200 days I was in there, it changed a whole lot in me. But it also showed me that God could be God without my help, because
my
he
man
turned
that's
the president's
real.
Heart without me making a phone call. And I all, you know, this is fun. I got to talk to him. Man, put me down. Hey, oh, I'm telling my, I'm sending email. get to Mr. Cushing.
You're doing it all.
I'm trying to direct the whole thing. And he had to say, okay, let me show you who I am. And I got in there.
Yeah.
And he empowered my sister to have a voice that she could talk to people in the White House. So it's also for her, too, to see how powerful she can be. Because she's quiet, always has been quiet, kind of handle her own stuff.
Yeah, laid
but
back.
This one, she took the lead. Laid back. Yon is a very laid back. Been that way since birth. And so that night, I'm in there, and when they locked down the orderlies at 9:30, my man Fred Bradley, he came. He said, man, they ain't said nothing yet about nobody. It's been speculation, but they ain't mentioned your name. I said, okay, don't worry about it. You're going to hear about it. At 12 o'clock, they do
ain't
a
no
count.
Question.
12 o'clock count. They do the 12 o'clock count and the feds, the officer come around. I hit the door and I would say his name. I don't want to get him in trouble. I said, hey, CO, man, listen, I just received a commutation from the president. He said, who told you that, Kilpatrick? I said, man, I'm serious. I know. I just heard. Now, I'm in a cell. You ain't heard nothing. I ain't heard nothing.
I got it.
Just check the computer. If you check the computer, it's on there. And so he goes and he looks at the computer, and he comes back and he shows me the evidence. He shows me the two papers from Detroit have already made the announcement that I received the commutation. He's geek. He's more geek.
Wow.
He's like, man, I can't believe this, man. You about to get out of here. He's hollering through the door.
He's more geek
was,
than
it
you.
Was crazy. I said, man, because for me it was relief. It was finally. This is gonna happen. I got on my knees, prayed, and went right to sleep. I mean, and I just knew at that point that I was free. That the warden hit the door at 5:30 in the morning. Said, "It's real, Kilpatrick. You're getting out of here. I'm getting out of here quick and quiet." I was in my sister's living room eating catfish and crab legs and all kind of stuff. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, I was home.
My man.
And so
you get home, man, and mom and dad see you. How did that make them feel, my brother,
man,
when you walk straight in and they know
they
baby home?
My mother knew I had a commutation, but they didn't tell her that I was getting out that day. They was letting her know it's going to be, you know, it takes a couple of weeks, mom, for things to happen. You know, they was all telling her that. So I walked in. She was just sitting there watching TV. So when they came to get me to the airport, most of my aunts and all of them were in town. They said they was just coming because they heard the news. They came into town, but my sister called and said, "You getting up out of here, but don't tell my mother."
Yeah.
So when I came in, she's just sitting up with the family eating, watching TV. You know. So I come behind, and my sons and my sister came to get me from the airport, and I come up behind her and just come up on the side of them. I say, "Hey, pretty lady." She looked at me like she ain't never seen me before. And, you know, it took her 2-3 seconds, you know. I'm talking
my baby here.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000, looking at me. She didn't know who I was. And she just went to crying and hugging me. And that was a wonderful experience. And so my dad was there, too. And same thing, you know, and my sons and my nephews, my sister, my aunt, my cousins. So it was an amazing experience with the family, and from that point on, we just walked in the grace that we've been given.
My man, I appreciate that, brother. And we're going to get to this point right here, Kilpatrick. Tell the people a little bit about what's your focus on this prison reform that you're working on right now.
I'm launching a ministry. Actually, we launched it in the middle of September. It's called Movemental Ministries. And one of the, you know, our primary focus is to preach and teach the Word of God, to evangelize, to minister to the least of these, to hurting people all over the world and this country, of course. But the primary focus outside of just relationship with Jesus is also to engage this criminal justice transformation, not reform. You can't reform something that's so retarded. You got to transform it. And you know, I think now I've become a criminal justice expert, partly because I was a public sector CEO who hired police chiefs, who hired deputy chiefs, who had to go to a woman's home when her baby was shot by a police officer, or had to go to a police officer's home when one of our citizens shot a police officer. I had to deal with issues of community and police relations. We were able to drive down crime in Detroit to 1960s numbers when I was there, but it wasn't because more cops was on the street. It was because we had a joint effort between parks and recreation, activities, PAL, things for kids to do, the Maristown program after school between 3 and 8, and quality policing and engagement between police and community. So understanding it from that perspective, then also being an inmate in state prison, in federal prison, going through the state justice system, court system, the federal court system, being in prison, writing appeals and writing habeas corpus motions to get brothers out of jail, writing commutation. By the grace of God, I've been very successful in getting men out of prison, helping people get out of there, understanding all of the different laws of 922, 924, 2K1 stuff, understanding it more and more, understanding the drug tables, understanding how the new crack law works, understanding the discretion of the judge and what he looks for. And so in this entire thing, and I know what you and your wife are doing out there, man, in Arizona is off the hook, because you are the most important people, because you street level. You ground zero. You right there where a dude is making a decision whether I'm going to knock this guy over the head or whether I'm going to come into the program with Rob and Lucinda and get some help. And so you have to understand that psychology. So part of what I want to do is raise money for organizations like yours that's on the ground, get around the country. I just saw Van Jones got $100 million from Jeff Bezos to deal with the issue of criminal justice reform. He needs to know Robin Lucinda. He needs to see what people are doing on the ground. He needs to understand that there are more than talking heads in Washington, D.C. There are people who've been laboring in this vineyard for years and decades. And how do we connect them and plug them in to the money that's out there to handle this problem? Because we can't handle it with laws changing. That's one thing. But there has to be work on many different fronts. And lastly, dealing with the issue that we don't like as black people, which is black people loving black people. That's an issue that at some point we're going to have to deal with in our community. The violence in our community is not spurred or even exacerbated by police officers. Yeah, I say it. Yeah, I'm going to say it. We have an issue there, absolutely. But our biggest issue is us killing us. Unless somebody has the street credibility to talk about it, and then also the ability to go and speak truth to power and talk about this issue, we're not going to see change in the hearts of our own people. And what I saw coming in prison are people getting RICO convictions for being GDs and vice lords and Crips and Buds, or being in the Mexican Mafia or Nathaniels or whatever it was. I did not see the RICOs coming from the Italians. Yeah, and the Jewish gangs and the different gangs that the RICO Act was made for. And young people have to know that they got a trap for you. You know, Meek Mill said they got 10 yards for you, and that's your first down. They got 20, 30, 40 yards
and,
for
and,
you.
And the list goes
down.
On.
And the list goes on. So I want to be a part of that movement that speaks that truth, not just to the power in Washington and in Lansing or in state capitals, but also to our own hood. We killing ourselves. And it's a problem we must face as black men out here. That this don't need to be no conversation outside of. We need to have a direct conversation with our own people and talk about that.
Real talk, man. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Kilpatrick, because, you know, me and my wife and I got to say it to piggyback off what you said. Me and my wife been doing this prison reform for 12 years. Our intervention program is in 165 prisons around this country now, federal and state, and we do this with our own money. We ain't never received a grant from nobody on this planet. We do this with our own bread. So I really appreciate what you just said about people need to know about Robin Lucinda. See, one thing about where you come from and I come from, when you can back your own play and people see you can back your own play, now the right people hear about you, they willing to give you a play because you done backed your own play for so many years. And we back this play with our own money.
Amen.
And I don't think too many people can do that for 12 straight years.
That's right. That's right. That means you've had some
incredible
faith.
All they got to do is do the math.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. When you sent me that program and I saw what you all were doing out there and just the labor of love that is, you know, nobody wakes up in the morning and say, I'm going to just help people in the community who are broken and we're going to try to get them fixed. Who wakes up in the morning and does that and uses their own money and convinces their husband and wife team that we both going to be on this field until we die? Who does that? The people out there like you and your wife that are doing those type of things, we need to know who you are. You need to be getting support from organizations. There are a lot of organizations out there, man, as a former mayor. I never saw them. I saw the dinners. I saw the fundraisers. But I didn't see them connecting to the people in the neighborhoods. And some kind of way, what Dr. King and SNCC and even SCLC had, where they had tentacles right there on the ground in Birmingham and Selma and in Atlanta and in North Carolina, they were connected to the neighborhood. We don't see that kind of connection. They would have known. Dr. King would have known Robin Lucinda if he came to Phoenix because he couldn't move around and hang out at the Ritz in the Four Seasons. He would have had to come. He would have had to come to the neighborhood because that's the people who had love for him. And that's the kind of turning back we have to do. COVID is an incredible opportunity for us to see that this country really ain't in as far advanced as we thought it was. This is the time for us, for people-to-people connection to return because it's all we got, even in our public health.
That's real talk.
People, and so that's just, I just appreciate what you're doing. And man, I look forward to meeting you and really understanding what you do and figuring out how I can help you do what you do better.
Man, I really appreciate that, man. And congrats once again to your new queen. And send our love to her and the whole family. And once again, it was an honor, man, to have you right here at the show. Any last shout-outs, any last thing you would like to say to anybody?
No, you know, I'm looking forward to one day coming out there and kicking it in Arizona. I have not done that. I've been out there a couple of times, but I just went to a hotel, did a little speech, and got out of there. So I'm looking forward to coming out there to the left, you know, to the left coast, you know, to the west side of the country. I'm hearing about the tremendous growth, but I'm also hearing about the tremendous opportunities to lift people up in the community, and I just want to get out there and see what you all are doing. And so that's a promise, man. I'll be out there. They soon as we launch this ministry and start moving around the country, part of what we're doing, this team of people that we have meeting, is just looking at fact-finding. I don't want to pick up something old and dust it off and try to do that. I want to really understand what's going on. And so I look forward to meeting you, and much love to you and your wife and everything you all are doing. And I definitely tell Tisia that you sent a shout to her as well, my wife.
Hey, man, we really appreciate that, brother. Keep doing that good work you're doing, man. And once again, thank you for keeping your word, bro, because it's a lot of homies that say this, that, and the third. But you came home. I leaned back. I let you do your thing because when somebody comes straight out to join after so much time, they want to mingle with the family, get things caught up.
Yeah.
Then that's when we start kicking it after I let months pass. You feel me? And here you is.
Yes, sir.
Kept your word, man.
Yep.
And your word mean more than
no
money
doubt
to me, bro. you know?
Amen.
So love
Same
you, man.
Same
Keep up
here.
The good work.
Love
man.
You too, brother.
Can't wait to
Y'all
see.
Take it easy now.
Hey, send that number to me on my inbox. Send your number to me on my inbox on Instagram, and I'll text you
okay.
and keep up with you and send you different things.
For sure. All right, brother.
All right, much love, my brother. Peace.
Much love, bro. Yo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, that was my main man, Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick. You'll be able to listen to the segment after we hang up the segment. You'll be able to listen to this segment over and over again. It'd be worldwide. Anybody can listen to it. And want to thank him once again for locking down with us. And want to thank my homeboy, White Boy Rick, for asking me to send him the intervention program. And that's how everything got started, and we broke the ice. And as you see, he kept his word. Peace and love, man. And don't forget, September the 26th, the Black Mafia movie is coming out that 50 Cent is doing. My homeboy, White Boy Rick, Eminem will be playing him. I want to give much love to the whole cast over there at the BMF, Sears over there, man. And much love to everybody, man. 50 Cent, once again, my homeboy, White Boy Rick, Eminem, Big Meats, Southwest T, and the whole BMF cast. We out. Peace and love. September 26th starts.